Praise God for another year. Happy anniversary, FICF. Okay, yes. Seventeen years ago, somebody was called to by God to come to Reno Sparks and start a born-again Christian church under the denomination of the Southern Baptist denomination. We're stubborn in the Word of God, you know. Pastor Julius Aquino obeyed the calling, leaving his comfortable, beautiful home in Georgia with two churches that he was pastoring there, only because God called him. Amen? And ever since then, people who have been in the faith, certain things were clear to them, just like me. The assurance of salvation was secured through Pastor Julius. That was for me. And many of you who are here were saved throughout the years because of the establishing of this church by our Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. And yes, like Ruth has said earlier, God has also, and Dustin, he said it too, God has also showed his faithfulness, continue to show his faithfulness to us in his power and his majesty by providing this building to one of his many small churches in town. So we praise him for that. Amen. If you do have a cell phone, please make sure they are turned off or in silent mode. And if you have your Bibles, please turn them over to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden'?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. This is the word of the Lord. Please join me in the word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your power, your love, your majesty, your grace and mercy that is new every morning. Father, without you, Father God, we cannot do anything. Away from you, Father God, our works are all in vain. We trust in you, Father God, because you are good and you are trustworthy. You are faithful and we are not. We thank you for the songs. We thank you for the 17 years that you have blessed us with. Thank you for your sovereign hand for choosing each and every one of us and putting us all together to become your body. We pray, Father, that we are pleasing you in everything that we say and do. We ask now, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit that indwells in every person whom you have chosen. We ask for your wisdom. Reveal to us your message. Speak to us. Bless my preparations, Lord God. Forgive us for our sins. Let nothing, Lord God, about us hinder you from speaking to us and us hearing you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So every anniversary, there's always a challenge on what message you are to give, because this is when we encourage our, we always encourage our members to invite their friends and family. But every year, there is a challenge for me on what is the right message to deliver, because the building, we're anticipating it, that in the building, there will be people that have not surrendered their lives to Jesus. So, lo and behold, for second year in a row, God said Genesis. Genesis 3, which is what we just read. I entitled our message, Doctor's Orders. Doctor's Orders. It usually means that one is strongly advised to do as ordered, as if ordered by a doctor, right? The doctor's advice are viewed as the uncompromising truth, the authority when it comes to our health. Therefore, when the doctor gives us orders or marching orders or a list of things to do and not do, things to eat and not eat, it pays that we should follow it. That's if we trust the doctor. That if we trust them with their 10 years experience and study and all that stuff, right? That's if we are to trust them that they know what they're talking about when it comes to our physical well-being. Now the question, can a medical doctor make a mistake? Yes, everybody's saying yes, right? That's like everybody else earlier during the tithes and offering prayer. Where's the baskets? Everybody can see it. It is true. Unfortunately, yes, they can make mistakes. As many as 250,000 people die every year because they are misdiagnosed in the emergency room, with doctors failing to identify serious medical conditions like stroke, sepsis, pneumonia, or like what I would like to say, pneumonia, according to a new analysis from the federal government. The study released Thursday by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality estimates roughly 7.4 million people are inaccurately diagnosed of the 130 million annual visits to hospital emergency departments in the United States. Some 370,000 patients may suffer serious harm as a result. This is an article in New York Times by the person named Reed Ableson. This was in December 15 of last year. Now, researchers from Johns Hopkins University, under a contract with the agency, analyzed data from two decades worth of studies to quantify the rate of diagnostic errors in the emergency room. While these errors remain relatively rare, they are most likely to occur when someone presents with symptoms that are not typical, like stroke patients complaining the room is spinning. A doctor may not immediately think that a young woman with shortness of breath is having a heart attack, or that someone who has back pain could have a spinal abscess. This is the elephant in the room no one is paying attention to, said Dr. David E. Newman Toker, a neurologist at Johns Hopkins University and a director of Armstrong Institute Center for Diagnostic Excellence and one of the study's author. Now, I think we didn't need to see the article, but it pays that we actually have some data, because we know that people make mistakes. Amen? For some odd reason, sometimes we think doctors don't make mistakes. We would rather them not make mistakes, I should say, especially if it's us who's on the bed, right? Medical doctors are the authority when it comes to health. Now, authority, defined by Webster's dictionary, is defined as a noun, authority, and the plural is authorities. First definition is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. A person or organization having power or control in a particular typically political or administrative sphere. Third, the power to influence others, especially because of one's commanding manner or one's recognized knowledge about something. Now, if you read the definition of the word authority, whether we know it or not, we all have given someone or something authority over our lives. It may not be the entirety of our life, but particular matters of our lives. We have given certain things, certain people, certain businesses authority. Remember the show, this will date me, The Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous? Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous, you know, that was... I stopped watching it because it was pretty depressing as I saw all the mansions and the yachts and the nice cars and how they were eating soup with gold shavings. They had the fashion, the clothing, the vehicles, all the toys, their properties, you know, vacation properties, the vacation spots that they do and go. And then that was changed. It was copied in a way for the younger generation when MTV had it, where they called it the Cribs. Welcome to the Cribs, you know. Come on in, they said. And again, it was another depressing show for me because it's depressing because it just tells me what I am not having. It seems so impossible, you know. A person with a 6-car garage home or 7 and all of their cars seems to be more than the house you're living in. Lifestyle is defined as the way in which a person or group lives. Lifestyle, it means way of living, way of life, manner of living. Now, I gave you a lot of words there. Now, let's put all these thoughts together with a question. Question. Wait, sorry, where's the question? There. Who is the authority in your life of whom you take orders from? Some people will say, I don't take orders from anybody. I'm the boss of my life. It's probably true. But if you look into your lifestyle or your life or your way of living, it reveals who the authority in your life is. So you have to ask yourself that question, who is the authority of my life? If you've never thought about it, go ahead and just look into it. Now please note that the question is not if you are happy, or it's not about if you're fulfilled. We're not asking if you're accomplished or not. Because happiness and fulfillment are emotional byproduct of decisions we make and made, and is relative to each person depending on their background, upbringing, and culture. Somebody who grew up in the Philippines, in the province, comes to America, gets an apartment, gets to eat 3 times a day, 7 days a week. He lives as a millionaire in his eyes. Somebody who grew up here in America, knowing MTV Cribs and watch music videos of millionaires, you will never be happy. You will never feel accomplished because you're comparing it to something higher or bigger or larger. So we're not asking if you feel happy or if you're fulfilled. We're asking who is the authority in your life, of whom you take orders from. Now, to our guests, you were invited by your friends and your family who belongs to this church family. This church family that belongs to the Christian faith. We do it because they did it. We do it because of our love for God. And we do it because of our love for you and care for you. I, along with them, live our lives according to what God has commanded us in His Holy Bible, which we believe is true and is without error. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, New Living Translation, it reads, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." Amen? This is the authority of our lives as Christians. God is the authority of our lives as Christians. Everything that God has said is written down in the Bible. As a Bible-believing, born-again Christian church, we base everything that we do as a church as the Bible teaches us and instructs us. Nothing more, nothing less. The reason why you were invited, the reason why we try to do what we do, is because in Matthew 28:19, we were told, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." This is why we do it. We believe, as the Bible teaches, that everyone, including the unbelievers, are involved in a spiritual warfare between God and Satan, between good and evil. And it happens in the spiritual realm. It says in Ephesians 6:12, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." We get all of these things from the Word of God. Amen? There has been fighting for souls. There has been a long time battle, war going on between Satan and his fallen angels against the Almighty God for souls. Lost souls. We can see here that the world is being influenced by these evil forces, which should explain why the world's way of living is the total opposite of God's instruction as written in the Bible. The political scene right now tries to remove your right to even reason out. The sensitivity of this culture, right, this generation, somehow disengages you or tells you to disengage because they feel offended. I'm Generation X. Being offended means it's time to bear arms. If somebody is bullying me in school before, if I'm the bully and the guy just had enough of it, it's time to duke it out. There is no time for us to be sensitive. For us to be sensitive, that means we're crybabies. And I belong in a generation that crybabies are mocked. But right now, this generation and the generations to come seem to be offended with the mere question, what is a woman? What is male and female? Everybody seems to be racist, especially the white people these days. But everybody has their own racism because we're all imperfect. It sounds like a political meeting right there, not line. But everybody made it political. If you read the Bible, everything is political. All the political powers during their time were against them. The Roman Empire was against Christianity. Other governments were attacking Israel. The battle is spiritual, and we can see it here because the world right now is temporarily being ran by the enemy and his cronies. It's written down in Isaiah that there will come a time that people will call good evil and evil good. Isn't that what's happening right now? Now that's my introduction. Now let's get to my message here. I know we can smell the egg rolls here. It's getting us hungry. Now, The first two things that Satan attacks is God's word and his goodness. We read Genesis 3 earlier, and now I just want to make you guys review Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:26-27. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created everything. And then 26:27 reads, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them." As Christians, we are not to submit to the pressure of the society that there are more than two genders. Amen? That's what the society is trying to convince us. That if a man thinks he's a woman, that considers him to be a woman. That if a female then decides to be a man, then she should be called a he, or they, them, or they, them, or zoom, zing, kaboom, beam. I don't know. They're going to come up with all these things. They're going to go to school like as a wolf. Why would a wolf go to school? If you're a wolf, then don't go to school. Go to forest. Is that where they belong? God created the world. It's not a cosmic accident caused by an explosion. We didn't come from monkeys. A kid asked her mom, he said, I was at school, mom, and they told me that we come from monkeys. And the mom said, that's on your father's side. Now, I'm 46 now, and I still need to see a gorilla turn into a human being. Many human beings act like animals, but nothing to affirm evolution's theory. The lie about gender, it's gender dysphoria. That was scientifically backed by and conclusions by many psychologists over the past years and even today. Now, some have deviated from it. However, again, for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15 reads, and by serving him means that we will stand in God's word. So I don't know about you, but again, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, and by serving, we stand with what he said. Now, this is why the world, the enemy, Satan and his cronies, and the world attacks the validity of the Bible. And for us Christians, if you're saying you're serving the Lord too, you also need to stand on the Word of God. Now, here's a quote from Martin Luther. He used to be a Roman Catholic priest, monk, and scholar, and he wrote the 95 theses that attacked the Roman Catholic Church that gave birth to the Reformation. I quote, "If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except that point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ. However boldly I may be professing Christ, where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved, and to be steady on all battlefield besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point." End quote. The title of our message is Doctor's Orders. And the concept is that we shall do what we are told by that person since we have recognized he or she as the authority in whatever particular area of our life. And as we agree, we know that errors happen. Whether it's an honest mistake or lack of care with doctors or other people in authority, with other life choices, we also find ourselves submitting to an authority and consequently live our lives according to what they say, whoever they is. If you have submitted to the authority of fashion, of the designer Gucci, you will find anything else, every other brand as, I'm not styling today. If you have given to the authority when it comes to shoes by Nike, you would not want to wear anything else but Nike. And so on and so forth. Same with your cars, same with everything. If you have submitted to the authority of the teaching of the world that you are to live your life, to become a millionaire, and that's what will fulfill your life because money is everything, and that's how you're going to live your life. Those orders are what you're following. And that's how your life is reflecting. And you know what? Somehow, we have set aside the spiritual aspect of our lives. We have just made it of another category. It's an optional box for us to check on a week-to-week basis. It's not the thing for us to do because we have submitted to another authority, not God. God is no longer the authority of our lives. He's an optional choice. We go about our day, our week, our lives with this question: do I need a God today? Maybe I need a God today. So since I need a God today, I will go to church today. Maybe I need help with the trouble that I am in today. So maybe I should check the box of praying to a God today. The enemy always attacks the validity of the Bible. Is that even relevant to this day, to this society? Look at Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" Satan's strategy is to question the commands of God in His Word. You see it? The strategy of Satan in the past, in the beginning of time, has not changed up to now. Did God really say you need to be married for you to enjoy the sex? Did God really say you need the Christian God while you can worship any other God because there's 1,000 things that you can worship? How do you know that the Christian faith is the God? The God. Did God really say? That's His strategy then. It's His strategy up to now. Here's a quote from Pastor John MacArthur. I need a bigger pastor to back me, you know, because I feel like, this guy Joe, man, is just making up things. Well, you know, maybe. But here, and here you have the first question in the Bible. This is actually posing the first dilemma in human history. There were no dilemmas until this one. And the question is designed to start Eve on the path to doubting God's word. And doubting God's word is the essence of sin. You could actually translate this: so God has said, has He? And for the first time, the most deadly spiritual force was covertly smuggled into the world. Or was it the assumption that what God has said is subject to human judgment? This is Pastor John MacArthur in his message entitled Attack on the Bible. The question was posed, but every question, there's an intent. Do you agree? When you pose a question against the speed limit, if the speed limit is 45, you say, why is it 45? Because you're actually saying you want it above 45. Why is there even a speed limit? Questions are posed because there's an intention behind the question. And Satan's intention with him asking Eve, did God really say? He's also telling you that. When you are opposed to obey his command, and you very well know, you can feel it in your heart, or you've heard it in a message, or if you've heard it in a Sunday school, the last time you attended church was when you were little, in an Awana class, or VBS, and you heard that same command, and now you're hearing it as an adult, and you're saying, wow. And then Satan will whisper, come on, did God really say that you have to be faithful to him? Did God really say that you need to live a pure life? Did God really mean it that way? Did God really mean male and female? I mean, that was like many years ago. That was before TikTok, right? Because everything now is just TikTok and everything else. And the new social media, whatever is trending, that's the truth. Did God really say? The Satan's strategy is to question God's word, the validity of the Bible, and God's goodness. The question, is there sugar in the cigarette? I was with someone dear to me, and we went to the doctor because he was getting sick, so he was there for his, you know, yearly checkup. And the doctor, you know, did his blood work and everything else. And the doctor said, do you smoke? And the person said, yes, I do. And the doctor said, well, we've checked your vitals and you're border diabetic. So I need you to stop smoking. Person turns to me and says, how stupid is this doctor? Is there sugar in cigarette? Is there sugar in cigarette? There's no sugar in cigarette, as far as I know. I don't know. But if the doctor says stop smoking because you're pre-diabetic, I think it's pretty good to heed to his advice. But I know why the person asked the question, is there sugar in cigarette? Because he's actually saying, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. It's my life. It's my way. That doesn't make sense. I've lived my life, all my life, this way. I want it to remain in this manner. I'm not going to stop. There's no sugar in cigarette. No, that's what the Bible does. The Bible does, that's God uses the Bible because this is a spoken word, written down, inspired these people to write it. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The Bible will reveal. God's word will reveal what is truly in people's hearts. And most of the time, unfortunately, what is in our hearts are sinful things. This is why we don't like hearing the word of God, because we want to continue to live in our way, and we don't want it to be called sinful. That's why the word sin has been removed and has been changed to downfall, shortcoming, mistake. I forgot. I didn't know. We don't like the word sin. The most hated doctrine of Christianity is the fact that it tells people that people are sinners. We don't want to be called sinners. We don't want to accept that we are bad, that people are evil. We don't like it. Did God really say? No, Genesis 3, 2-3, the woman answered, God said we could eat the fruit from any tree in the garden except the one in the middle. He told us not to eat fruit from that tree or even touch it. If we do, we will die. No, you won't, the snake replied. Now, if you can all notice that Adam was not in the conversation. Now, do you think Adam was somewhere else? You think Adam was home while Eve was roaming around the garden? Was Adam at the mall? Or was he at work? Now, men, he was not leading his wife properly here. Because Adam knew he was not even supposed to be talking to Satan. Eve, on the other hand, why was she even speaking with him? Or was Adam, just like every other dude here in the room, maybe just me, sorry. There's a story here where the wife was talking to her husband, and then the conversation went, have you heard anything that I have said? The wife says. And the husband said, well, that's a weird way to start a conversation. Now, verse 4, no, you won't, the snake replied. John 8:44 says that the enemy, Satan, is the father of lies. Everything that Satan says is a lie. The only thing that Satan is consistent with is lying. Everything else is a lie. You don't have to get married. You can be happy with your girl, with your boyfriend, without getting married. You can take advantage of all the tax advantages being a single person and then filing as single. You can take advantage of all that. You don't have to live a holy life. It's 2023. World War III is here. You might as well just enjoy your life. Don't live for God. God is boring. Living for God is limiting you. Living for God, everything that's written down there is to limit you. This is what Satan is somehow saying. No, you won't die. Did God really say? Now, God is all about law. While me, Satan speaking, I'm all about love. I'm all about love. This is Satan's gang sign. You know, remember the gang signs for the heart, right? The heart. This is his gang sign. He says, God is about law. I'm about love. He's all about, don't do this, don't do that. I'm all about, enjoy yourself. Take care of you, boo-boo. You do you. And does it hurt the person? Look at the world now. Compare this world now 10 years ago. With all the radical movements and radical changes that has been changed with our laws and the society, the acceptance of free sex or and everything else, everything must be accepted. If you're happy, you can do it, so long as you don't bother me. Is our society really much better now? Is the society so much better now? The answer is no. The answer is really no. It's a hard no. Now, if you're agreeing that, oh, you know, it's not that bad, you've given in to the lie. Our country is so accepting. Our country is not perfect, but this country is so accepting of the fact that, hey, we're not going to get this right, but we're going to continue to make changes. But based on the Constitution and the people, the founding fathers of this country, we're all God-fearing, Christian faith. So unpopular these days. You know, I feel horrible for the people that are defending our country. Because they're not, I mean, They're defending their country. They're sacrificing their lives, spending time away from their families, only for them to come back to ruins, to be mocked, that they were, even the flag now, the flag of America is what, a racist flag? This is why my house was egged 3 times, you know, because I have the flag flying there and who I wanted to vote for. This country, it was established with the knowledge that God, that we are all created equal. With the freedom of speech. But since things can be changed in the political realm, nothing can be changed with the Bible. Popular opinion is a movable thing. It's a moving target. But the Bible isn't. During Jesus' time, the Bible seemed to be a liberal thing. Because during Jesus' time, they were so conservative. And it seemed like God was liberal. But now that the world is very liberal, the Word of God seems to be very conservative. Now Eve added to God's command. God told Adam, you must not eat. Eve added, you must not touch. That's where the fall started. The fact that she was talking to Satan is where the fall began. And the fall began there because why even entertain a conversation with the enemy? Why even be there? Why do you even have to be there? Remember Joseph the dreamer when he was being tempted by Potiphar's wife? The first cougar in the Bible? Sorry. Bad joke, I think. What did he say? He ran away. He didn't stand there and pray. He said, whoa, Mrs. Potiphar, I'm going to pray for you. Let me pray for you. No, he ran. There's no adding. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. The authority for Christians is the Word of God. Amen? Genesis 3:5, God understands what will happen on the day you eat fruit from that tree. This is Satan speaking. Again, accusing God that God is not good. He's not after your own good. God wants your life to be boring. God understands what will happen on the day you eat fruit from that tree. You will see what you have done, and you will know the difference between right and wrong, just as God does. Satan knows the scriptures from cover to cover, and that should scare all of the believers right now. Scared in a way to give you the urgency that if the enemy knows your playbook, you have to know your own playbook. He has studied the playbook. It's like the coach from the other team taking all the plays in the football team and then looking at it. So all the calls of the quarterback, the defense knows it. He knows it quite well. Similar to when he tempted Jesus in the desert with the verses in the Bible. Now, however, as much as he knows it, he doesn't love God and he doesn't know God. He wants to be greater than God, which was his sin of pride. And this is what he's trying to tell Eve here. And this is what he tells us or people or the world when we are falling into sin. He's accusing God's goodness and he's telling us he wants your life to be boring. That's all. Don't trust his commands. It's so limiting. Be free. Do what you please. He doesn't know God, but he knows his scriptures. And he tells us, so this is what sin is. That's what sin is. Sin is knowing the difference between right and wrong, right? How is that sin? Because you're acting like God. You're acting like God if you want to determine what is right and wrong. Because right and wrong has been written down here. We just need to obey it. God's command is not, God, did God say, okay, these are my laws, these are my commands to you. Now, what do you think? No, our opinions was not asked. But our society, our world, seems to act as if our input was greatly missed. It was not asked, and it's greatly needed. Look at any society that does not fear God and tell me if they have it better. No, they don't. This is why this country is so great for many years, because the establishment has been, the foundation was founded in the Word of God. People will disagree. Sure, that's your right. You can disagree. But I stand in the Word of God. I stand with everything that the Word says. It doesn't make you popular. It doesn't make me popular. I've lost friends throughout the years. But you know what? Oh, well. That should be our attitude when it comes to that. Because Jesus said, if they persecute you because of me, you will have rewards in heaven. Sin is wanting to be like God from the garden up to now. We want to be the authority of our own lives, which the world affirms. The world affirms that, right? You are the captain of your ship. You direct your life. You do what you want. Now, the Bible has it written down for us so that it's not a surprise on why this is all happening in our world right now. This is Christians, if you are reading your word and you know his teachings, there should not be panic in your hearts when you hear wars and rumors of wars. Why? Because it's written down in the word. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. You can be certain that in the last days there will be some very hard times. People will love only themselves and money. They will be proud, stuck up, rude, and disobedient to their parents. They will also be ungrateful, godless, heartless, and hateful. Their words will be cruel, and they will have no self-control or pity. These people will hate everything good. They will be sneaky, reckless, and puffed up with pride. Instead of loving God, they will love pleasure. Even though they will make a show of being religious, their religion won't be real. Don't have anything to do with such people. The strategy of Satan has not changed. It's still very much alive. And many people have bought into it. There will be more people not believing the truth rather than the lie, right? The woman stared at the fruit. It looked beautiful and tasty. She wanted the wisdom that it would give her, and she ate some of the fruit. Her husband was with her, so she gave some to him, and he ate it too. At once they saw what they had done, and they realized they were naked. Then they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. The tragedy in the garden is a tragedy that we, in the whole human history, have all suffered. The seduction of sin, the seduction of the thing that we cannot have, the seduction of the lie of the enemy, making it sound so good, making it sound so pleasurable. If you do this, your life will be better. When you get this, you will make it. The moment you buy that, then everything will be solved. And you can see here too the man's nature of pleasing the woman. Women, instead of blaming men here, we want to submit this over to you, that you have power beyond your control, that you probably already know, that men live to please you. The men should be saying amen. I'm trying to get your points. We want to live to please our wives, our spouse. But there you go. But then the problem is, at times, when the woman is not following God, the woman is the one leading the man to sin, to error. Now, men, we have to be the one wearing the pants in our household, in our homes. We have to be the spiritual leaders of our family. Sam, I'm going to be sleeping with you after this message. I'm going to go to your house. I need a room. Okay. No. We have to stand with God. Because Adam here bit the fruit. He knew quite well, because it was clear to him, God told him, not Eve. God told Adam, you are not to eat the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. But he was scared to lose the only woman he knew his entire life. Romans 5:12-14, Adam sinned, and that sin brought death into the world. Now everyone has sinned, and so everyone must die. Sin was in the world before the law came, but no record of sin was kept because there was no law. Yet death still had power over all who lived from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. This happened though not everyone disobeyed a direct command from God as Adam did. The fall of man is recorded in the first book of the Bible for all of us to see and know. People who have accepted the truth about God and the Bible being His divine inspired word tells us this, and we recognize that we are dead. Before we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we recognized that we are dead in our sins against the holy God because the Bible said so. We know this is true, as we all know that God also has provided the way for our sins to be paid and for us to not suffer the fires of hell when we finally leave this temporary body. In this temporary life. The title of the message is, Who is Your Authority? Oh, no, sorry, Doctor's Orders. That's the title. Doctor's Orders. And it becomes the list of things for you to do if you truly trust the person who you're speaking with. Now, the Bible is the ultimate authority in any person's life, whether you believe in God or not, because God is true. Amen? And there is only one God, the God of the Bible, the Christian Bible. Romans 5:6-8. Christ died for us at a time when we were helpless and sinful. No one is really willing to die for an honest person, though someone might be willing to die for a truly good person. But God showed how much He loved us by having Christ die for us, even though we were sinful. God, as much as God hates sin, because he hates sin so much that someone had to die. But He provided that sacrifice as payment. It was a debt that you and I cannot pay. And He did that while we were still His enemies. Now, who of you with a show of hands will pay for the credit card debt, $25,000, of your worst or your mortal enemy? Show of hands. No, you probably won't even do it for your best friend. Much more for your enemy. $5? Yeah, $5. It's a Starbucks. $20? Sure. $20,000, $25,000, $100,000, $1 million? Our sins cannot be paid by anything and by anyone else except God. And God showed His love for us that He gave His only begotten Son, that while we were still His enemies, He died for us. Church, Christians, I praise God for you. I praise God that you were able to be quickened, that you were quickened by the Holy Spirit, that you were chosen by God, and that you have accepted Him ever since then. I praise God that the times that you've fallen, you recognize your sin, and you run back to Him, you confess, and you say, Lord, forgive me, I believe in you, because it's grace. Amen? And for the unbelievers, I hope that this will be the evening, this will be the afternoon, that you will realize that a lot about your life, you've believed in the authority that is of the world, that is completely the opposite of what God has commanded. Your entire life has been a lie because you have been living with the authority of the father of liars, Satan. I pray that God's love will be the one that will be magnified in your minds, that it's God's love that will be opening your hearts, and that you will surrender to Him as your Lord and Savior. Amen? As the music team make their way up here, I'm going to close us in prayer. If you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let this be the afternoon that you will do that. As they're singing, I will be up here, and you can just come up, and we can lead you to that prayer. If you've been joining us for quite some time, and God has impressed it in your heart to become a part of this church, please come up so we can recognize you. Or if you just need prayer, please come up so we can recognize you, or so we can pray for you. Father, we thank you for your message. We thank you for your people. Thank you for your sovereign hand for bringing them here this afternoon safe and sound. We ask now, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit to have spoken to them. I pray that you will give them clarity. I pray that you will quicken their spirits, Lord God. I pray for the unbeliever, Lord God. Give them the boldness to come. Give them the honesty, Lord God, to accept that they are sinners. Make them realize their need for you, Lord. And I pray for those who are sick, Lord. I pray that you will heal them. I thank you, Father, for healing my sister. I pray for all those who were sick and were healed. I pray for this church, Lord God, and for the 17 years that you have blessed us with. You are good, Father God. We don't deserve you. We are your unworthy servants, Lord God, but you are so gracious, you are so merciful, and you are so loving. And we thank you for who you are and everything that you do for us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the Lord's people said, Amen.